chapter 6, please. Gospel of Matthew, if you have a Bible or a device, we'd love for you to get there. Gospel of Matthew. Continuing on our series, Lord's Prayer, that we started last week, I think one of the things I want to do for you is each week I teach, I'm going to use a different translation. So last week, read from the NIV, and this week from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. And there is a sentence in the Holman where I like it this way, the way it's expressed here. So here we are, Lord's Prayer. We're just going to pick it up. It's in the middle of a long discourse given by Jesus Christ, known as the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this, "Therefore you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Again, last week we started, and this is designed to be a seven-week journey through the Lord's Prayer. We know that this is not a formula or a code, some kind of a secret password. This is just simply a model. In fact, if you think about it, this is a type of prayer that Jesus could not have prayed himself with good integrity, because this prayer contains an explicit and an implied forgiveness for sins. And Jesus was and is our sinless Savior. So Jesus could have not prayed this completely. This is not an excerpt from his prayer journal, in other words. He can't ask for forgiveness of sins, can't do that. But this is how Jesus wants us to pray. And there are a lot of elements in this prayer that are very rich and deep, much more than try to memorize this and recite it, hoping it's going to help you during hard times. What I want to do in this entire series, my goals are to help you to be more comfortable when you pray, because a lot of times we're not comfortable. Well, what do we say when we pray? How do I know how to pray for this person? Going through a situation that I cannot relate to or connect with, how do I pray for this person? So I would love for you to be more comfortable when you pray, but also really this, I want you to be more confident when you pray. Less hesitant to pray, pray more often, pray with people, but more confident in prayer, understanding what it is that God desires to hear from you when you talk to him. It can be greatly helpful in terms of your overall confidence in praying. So last week we looked at Our Father. This week we're looking at, you might have it memorized as Hallowed Be Thy Name, or Hallowed Be Your Name. And the way it came across in the Holman that I really like, Your Name Be Honored as Holy. But quick review from last week, Our Father. And that was powerful as it was. We didn't even finish the phrase, Our Father in Heaven. Just looking at our Father, our Heavenly Father, we came to understand that we are God's children if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. You're not a number, hey, 7650. Great to hear from you. You're a child of God, a very important, precious child of God. And then we notice that there's this possessive pronoun, our Father, not the great God that's out there, the mysterious God, the majestic God, our Father. And we came to understand that not only do you belong to God, but also God belongs to you, our Father. He belongs to you in a sense of a family belonging. He's your father, you're his child, you're his son, you're his daughter. But we also saw that this was collective, our being not just my father, which would be a great way to express it if you ever want to, and you're on your own somewhere, you can call him my father, my heavenly father. You can talk to him as your father anytime, but understand this, you are all brothers and sisters in Christ together. In other words, we all together belong to God. And God belongs to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus' favorite way to approach God in prayer, by far, was to call him Father. We saw this occurred in the Gospel of John 50 times, 50. The only time when Jesus did not address God as his Father, when he was talking to him in prayer, is when Jesus was on the cross. There was a dark moment of time where Jesus had to step into the black hole of sin, and he was there alone because he was wearing your sin upon him. God had transferred or imputed your sin, my sin, upon the person of Jesus Christ. And for 3 hours, the land was dark, representing the spiritual darkness that Jesus was enduring at that moment. God was not relating to or connecting to Jesus as his Father. He was actually moving toward Jesus as his judge. God was judging your sin and my sin. And in that moment, Jesus cried out, not my Father, where are you? Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The natural consequence of sin is separation from God. Jesus endured that on the cross for your benefit and for mine. But Jesus' natural and most comfortable way of addressing God was to call him Father. So this must have contained a little bit of a surprise, but the disciples had been prepared for this somewhat. They hear Jesus saying that you should pray this way, our Father in heaven. Jews didn't pray that way. They weren't taught to pray this way. They would have been more formal, and Jesus, our Father. Well, that's new from a rabbi. The only thing that would have acclimated them or prepared them for this was to hear Jesus call God his Father over and over and over again. Our Father in heaven. May your name be honored. Your name be honored as holy, or you might have memorized it as hallowed be thy name. Well, this is the first request that we have. And you may have noticed as you look at this prayer that the first half of the prayer, just taking the Lord's Prayer in its entirety, the first half of the prayer finds us talking to God about God. And then the second half of the prayer finds us talking to God about ourselves. So if this is a model, then maybe we should think in terms of talking to God about God even before we talk to God about ourselves. You don't have to be rigid about this or legalistic. Talk to God what's most pressing upon your knee, most pressing upon your hearts. But very often what we do to God is we give him a list that contains our needs, our wants, and even our vision at times. And we fail to talk to God about God, which we're going to find out as we go through this. It kind of snaps us back to reality, that God is almighty and all-powerful, and we are not. The first request we encounter, though, is to ask our Heavenly Father that his name be honored in our lives and in the lives of Christians everywhere. And I want you to know that moving beyond that, you know, that would be kind of the obvious aspect as followers of Jesus Christ, as people who bear his name. May God be honored in our lives so that people who know us and know we're Christians somehow think well of God. But let's move beyond that. I think this prayer is evangelistic. May your name be honored in the earth is a prayer that God would bring people to himself so that they might relate to him as their heavenly Father and know him as their heavenly Father and actually proclaim his praises because he is the great God who has saved them. You see, I think this prayer is a missionary prayer. Which shouldn't surprise you because you understand that God is a missionary God. God seeks the lost. He wants to save the lost and then grow the saved. And when you pray, God, may your name be honored in this earth, you're not just praying for Christians or for the church to do well in front of a watching world. You're praying that those who are far from God would be brought near so that they can understand who he is. And have a relationship with him and return his love for them. Well, this prayer is very rich and very deep, and we would do well to understand this and do more than memorize it. Okay, so what is it about the name of God, and which name would it be? You know, when you open on page one of the Bible, you find God being described and revealed as the creator, the powerful and awesome, almighty creator, and that's the Old Testament name of Elohim. So would it be that name? Or if you move to page 2 in the Bible, you have Yahweh, which is described later on in the book of Exodus, particularly Exodus chapter 3. But there it is on page 2 of the Bible, and you understand that, wow, God can have a personal relationship with me. He's a personal God with a personal name, and he can have a relationship with me. Is that the name? Or is it the name later on in Genesis, the name El Shaddai, God Almighty, sometimes we say. Or is it one of the names that's attached to Yahweh, Yahweh Nissi, Yahweh Yireh? Yahweh Rophe, or something like that? Or is it the name Jesus, the name Yeshua? God saves. Is it that name? I don't think it's any one particular name. The immensity of our God is so extensive that there are dozens of names in Scripture to describe God. none of them are entirely adequate to describe God in all of his immensity, and so we need a multitude of names. Add to that this. In the ancient world, the name of a person actually described or related, connected to the person himself, him or herself. So name equals person. When God says, pray this way, pray that my name be honored, it's not just one particular name, it's that the person of God, God himself, would be honored, either in and through your life or lost coming to know him. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Or the way I like to have it here is from the Holman. Let's put it up here. Your name be honored as holy. Notice this is not a statement, it's a request. To make it a statement form would be, God, your name is holy. You would just be stating the reality or the fact. God, your name is holy. This is a request. Your name be honored as holy. And it actually comes to us in command form. So Jesus gives us permission to command God to do something. Well, that's interesting. Kind of mind-boggling. We get to command God to do something. This is a soft command, but it is a command. By soft command, I mean it doesn't carry the flavor of do this because I said so. It carries the force of please do this. When Peter was preaching in the book of Acts, at one point he said, let all of you be saved and be baptized. Cause it to happen. I want this to happen. But he didn't say, you have to be saved because I said so. Let all of you be saved and be baptized. It's a command, soft command, but it is a command. So where do we get this this confidence to tell God to do something on our behalf? Jesus. You don't have normally authority to command God to do anything. In fact, you don't have authority to command a whole lot of things to respond to you. Where does that authority to command to make a command come from? Well, in this case, it comes directly from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who said, pray this way, our Father in heaven, addressing God in the familiar way of Father in heaven. And then here comes this request, the soft command, your name be honored as holy. See, this gives us an opportunity to learn that we can actually request God to do work on our behalf. He's not someone to be afraid of, like the man behind the curtain, and try not to make mad. No, this is someone you can actually ask to go to work on your behalf. And what I suggested last week is he delights to hear from you when you do that. Now, to be clear, God is not a genie that has emerged from a lantern that you found. You do not have ultimate authority over God. He is the all-sufficient one and the all-powerful one, and he rules and reigns supreme in the universe. But you have been authorized by Jesus to request of God that he bring honor to his name in your life. It would help you to know that God is very interested in making his name great in our world. I did a quick look in the book of Psalms and found praise God everywhere, some form of praise God, praise his name, just everywhere. Well, over 130 times in the book of Psalms, there's something about praising God, praising his name. So here's a few. Praise his holy name. I will extol the Lord at all times, Psalm 34, verse 1. His praise shall continually be on my lips. I will praise you among the nations, implied people who don't know you. I will praise God in front of people who don't know you. Let those who love your name rejoice in you. On and on and on it goes in the book of Psalms. Lift up the name of God. Rejoice in the name of God. Praise the name of God. Why is he so fixed on his name? Because the name represents the person. And God understands from his perspective that our greatest need is His honor in our lives. Our greatest need. Things that are first are often very important in the Bible, and this being the first request in the model prayer that Jesus gives us. And as soon as we get past our Father in heaven, there's one request here that just stands out. Your name be honored as holy. I think our greatest need is God's honor in our lives. Think about this. Why do you praise anything at all? Why do you speak well of anything or anyone? Well, we want people to care about what we care about. We want people to like what we like. We want people to love what we love. We want people to value what we value. We want people to discover what we have found. And so we talk about the Seahawks or apps or the latest exercise or a diet that works or a whole number of different things. Here, you got to get into this. You got to try that. You should download this thing. You should look at that. You should listen to this thing. We want people to learn about what's important to us and to discover what we have discovered and even to care about or love what we care about, what we love. Let me just pause for some practical application here. You might be listening to this and be thinking, man, this is all fine and dandy, but my marriage is falling apart. What do I care about the name of God? How does this connect with me? You know, I just got some bad news about my health last week, and you're talking to me about the name of God. I ducked into church to hear if God could relate to me and if there's something in a relationship with God that I can find. You're talking to me about His name, make His name holy, honored? What is this? You might even feel as if life has passed you by somehow and all this stuff about God and His name just doesn't connect. Here are some ways that you can express this. One of the things I learned a while back, no matter what the situation is or what you're praying about, who you're praying for, you can ask for a godly response. So we have a natural response. Just in and of ourselves, our heart and our mind would come up with a response, but oftentimes it's generated by something that's self-seeking or self-desiring. And so our natural response might be to worry or tough it out, figure it out, or you know, to try to move forward without God being active or seeking His activity in our life. You can ask for a godly response to people and to situations in your life. Let's say you're in a relationship crisis. Lord, I pray for a godly response to this person. Why? Because I want to honor You. You got some news about your health and you worry and it's hard and it won't go away. Lord, I pray for a godly response here. Why? Because in all my attitude, my heart's disposition, and my words, and my actions, I want to honor You. You have kids who won't mind Your mind, who are not compliant with You. You have kids that they're going off there, and you look at other people's kids, and they're compliant, they're doing well. You know, you could fret about that as a parent. You could also ask for a godly response. How do we respond to this right now? You could even pray this into the lives of your kids, asking that they would respond to God with a godly response. The direction of this kind of praying, Our Father in heaven, Your name be honored as holy, is not, God, make me great in this situation. It's, God, make Your name great in my life, through my life, in this situation. If you will bring this prayer into your life deeply, I think you will grow as a person that allows other people to encounter the Christ who is in you. And you know, as a Christian, follower of Jesus Christ, Christ lives in you. You want people to encounter the Christ who lives in you more than you. You want them to encounter the Christ who lives in you. One of the ways you can do that is to pray this. I think praying this prayer will change you. God, be honored in my life. Less of You, more of Jesus. If we could have a moment of honesty in the room. I think most of you who have walked with Jesus for some period of time have reached a place in life, or let's just say, I'm not going to try to put a number or percentage. Never mind most. it's possible to walk with Jesus for some lengthy period of time and know a lot of information and have a lot of things down pretty square in terms of biblical understanding and theology, and yet be yearning for something deeper and something more at the same time. This is knowing Jesus. This is knowing God in such a way that you live with more trust and abandonment than you ever have before. God, may your name be honored as holy in me and through me. I will suggest that the best thing that could ever happen to you is that God's name be honored in your life. So often when we come to God, and I don't mean to just say it's a list, but there's something that's pressing, something that is a very real need in our life. But that's the motivation for going to God. And what we seek is a relief of that which burdens us. We want the healing, or we want the provision, or we want the person to change. You know, there's something that we come to God, and we want this thing here, and we want it pretty much now and pretty much the way we said it ought to be. Greater than that is your need for God to honor himself in your life and through your life. What we sometimes think of in terms of God honoring himself, our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy, is the clear-cut victory when clearly Jesus wins in this situation. And God comes through just the way we said, and we trusted him, and it really was hard, and it was difficult, and it was out of our reach. And God came through just the way we wanted, and it's all positive, and victory! Victory to Jesus, and praise God, make his name great. But what if it doesn't happen that way? Could God still honor himself? When my wife was pregnant the first time, it was a high-risk pregnancy, and she was very ill the entire time. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, heal the woman, heal this person. Could you heal, please, could you heal? Would you heal, please, yesterday, today, anytime soon? God, please, heal. Never happened. But a healthy baby was born. And we said, never again, we're never doing that again. And 4 years later, we did it again. It took a little while to get used to the idea, but there we were again, and the second one was even worse. Through all of that, we came to realize, you know, we have room in our hearts for three. We always thought of three. Well, that led to adoption, which meant Katie. Can't argue with that. Okay, so this not answering prayer the way I wanted to give God the victory led to something else. Well, thank you for that. But some of you are listening to this and you're thinking, you know what, I have not experienced that something else yet, or it's just never going to happen. What if there was no Katie to be adopted? The greatest need in your life is not for you to get what you want from God. Your greatest need, and we have it here as the first request that Jesus gives to us, your greatest need is for God to make his name honorable in your life and through your life. You might get what you want. You might get it now, just the way you want it, just the way you asked for. You might get something later, like a Katie type of situation, or maybe it doesn't happen at all. God is sovereign, he's good, and he's kind, and he's just with you. Your greatest need is going to be met, but you might not recognize what your greatest need is. And what I'm suggesting to you is your greatest need is for God to be honored in your life. This prayer teaches us that God's highest value is our greatest need. There might be in your network of relationships people who need to see how a Christian handles a hard time. maybe you've never thought of this, but I think those who are far from God feel pretty comfortable handling good times. It could very well be that somebody who knows you or is watching you needs to know what it looks like when life doesn't go your way, and how do you respond? Because they're asking the same questions. Here's a quote I came across in some of my background reading on prayer. Tim Keller has written a book simply called Prayer. It's a good one. I highly recommend it. Just a little chapter in there on the Lord's Prayer, but he says this, trying to get beyond our natural inclination, which is to desire things to go our way, getting beyond that, Tim Keller says this, we either love what we ought not to love, or we fail to love what we ought to love. Or we love more what we should love less, and we love less what we should love more. That's our natural self. Just left to ourselves, where we would naturally land is some of that stuff. And God, in his desire to transform you and grow you deeply, wants you to know that your greatest need is a desire to honor him. And that might mean more trust, more abandonment for him. Okay, well, let's begin to see what this looks like. Learning to pray this way, I'm suggesting, will change you. To put it simply, to honor God is to, or at least to seek to honor God, is to see your world with clarity. To have a deep desire continuing on to honor yourself or to seek comfort for yourself is to see your world with confusion. And praying this type of prayer can snap you back to reality and help you to see the world as it truly is, from a God-centered perspective rather than a perspective that's centered on self. I want to give you an example of this. Romans chapter 1, if you turn to the right in your Bibles, bunch of pages, pass through the Gospels, pass through the book of Acts. So I don't know where that is by now. We spent 45 weeks in the book of Acts, passed through that, and hit the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, great book of the Bible that Paul wrote, let's see, maybe about 6 years before the book of Acts ended, where he's in Corinth, and we saw in Acts where he spent some time in Corinth and had some good times there. He writes this letter to the church in Rome. He's never been there before, but there's some things that are pressing on his heart that he wants them to know about. Romans chapter 1, love how this comes out. There are people who are living changed lives in Rome. They knew Jesus Christ, and God changed their lives through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they're just living changed lives, and they couldn't help but not be passionate about him and not want people to learn what they had found and to discover the joy of knowing Jesus Christ, and they just talked it up, and they lived it out, and Rome began to change because of that. So Romans chapter 1, we'll start with the intro. It'll sound kind of formal, but it's really good. Really good for us to look at this. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, and you probably have the word servant, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and singled out or set apart, singled out for God's good news, which he promised long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh and who has been declared to be the powerful Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness. How do you know Jesus completed the mission that God wanted him to complete? God raised him from the dead. If he was a false Messiah, all God needed to do was keep him in the grave. Wouldn't have been that hard for the powerful God to do that, but he chose to raise Jesus from the dead. Let's see, what does that do? Bring us down to verse 5. We have received grace and apostleship through him, to bring about the obedience of faith among all the nations. I love that evangelistic emphasis again. The obedience of faith among all nations. And then watch this, on behalf of his name. I think NIV probably renders it with a little more more clarity in terms of the emphasis, because I think in the NIV in verse 5 it says, for his name's sake. You have that? Where it's right at the beginning of the sentence. For his name's sake, we have done this. We have received his grace and apostleship to bring obedience of faith among all nations on behalf of his name. There were people who were praying the Lord's Prayer, understanding the depth of the Lord's Prayer, asking that God's name be honored as holy. This is an answer to their prayer. This is it. That God's name would be honored by those in Rome. Well, who's going to take the gospel? How are the people going to know about this? Christians would talk it up. In your bulletin, on the back of your bulletin, we have praying for, I think there's several prayer requests, and then there's the third one down, the longest is always pray for the unreached. And the people group this week is in China, and it says they are 0.0% Christian. Sometimes it's 0.2, or sometimes it's 0.01, or 0.1, or something like that. Boy, 0.0. Wow. And what we're praying is that God's name would be honored among them. Well, they need to come to know God. They need to know Jesus and respond to him. And God's name be made great among them. So when you see that in your bulletin, pray for these people. Pray for unreached people group. Really what you're doing is you're praying a form of the Lord's Prayer on their behalf. Verse 6, including yourselves and all who belong to Jesus Christ by calling to all who are in Rome, loved by God, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So in all of that, Paul's just saying hi. How you doing? Hi. And then verse 8. First, here's the first thing he really wants to say. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. Love that. Famous faith. The news of your faith is being reported throughout all the world. They just couldn't help but talk it up and pray it up. These would have been people who understood we need to pray the Lord's Prayer, that God's name would be honored amongst those who don't yet know that name. I love hearing from the old missionary, Jim Elliot. Want to name the name of Jesus Christ where it has never been named before. Love that. Twice in the book of Acts, when we were following Paul around, accused, I guess, is the way it comes across. He's accused of upsetting the whole world with this news. You're turning the whole world upside down, Acts chapter 17. Everybody needs to know. This is part of the fulfillment of Lord's Prayer. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, it's not just for you and for Christians, it's for the lost. You're praying for yourself that God would honor himself through you and through your life, but you're also praying evangelistically. You're praying globally. Not just for this town. This is a great prayer. I hope you're beginning to understand the depth of this praying. Praying this prayer will change you. Learning to pray this way will change you. Recently, as elders and staff, we examined our mission statement and felt like, you know, we need to make an adjustment with this. Not that we thought the other was unbiblical, but what's a fresh way of putting this before our people and fresh vision for us to pursue? And in the course of doing that and looking into that, praying about that, I looked at a lot of churches and websites just looking for ideas. What are you guys doing? What do you see as your purpose? What's your mission? How do you read the scripture? How are you applying the scripture? I came across one church in North Carolina that came to me through a friend situation and looked at their website, and it said this, love this statement, we exist for the fame of Jesus. Love that. And it went on to explain that their mission is love God, love people, advance the gospel. But that purpose statement, we exist for the fame of Jesus. Can't argue with that. It's embedded in the Lord's Prayer. Wow. Okay, so this week, something practical you can do. Because by Wednesday, you're going to forget this unless you got a podcast. Okay, so this week, here you go. What I want you to do on a daily basis this week is ask God to honor his name in and through your life. And you never know where that'll take you or what will transpire. So I dare you to pray that. Ask God to honor his name in and through your life. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of today. You sustained us another day for us to gather together here. Thank you so much for that. Would ask your blessing on our week, that we would remember and not forget what it is that the Lord's Prayer is about, and particularly this aspect of our heart's desire being to bring honor to you. I pray that you'd accomplish that in our week. And we want to be embracing that prayer as we pray for the lost and pray for missionaries and pray for our church and pray for ourselves. We would love to understand that you are bringing honor to your name. And it's in the great name of Jesus Christ that I bring this prayer. Amen.